Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation. This is Ham Nation, episode number 159 for August 6th, 2014. It's Ladies' Night.
Good evening, everybody. Once again, it's Ham Nation time. It's Wednesday night, and I'm Bob Heil, K9EID. I'm in my Ozark studio tonight, and this is a very special night, as it's Ladies' Night. We have Gordo and I are surrounded with beautiful women that know what to do with a radio. We're so thrilled. Gordo, how are you doing down in Southern California? It's Gordon West.
Well, good evening to Ham Nation viewers. And yes, Southern California finally got the rain that we needed, all one micro inch. But this past Saturday, and Brian, if you want to go ahead and roll the still shots, this past Saturday, one of the Emergency Communication Services group out of Big Bear had to, on Saturday, right in the middle of the monsoon weather flow, stage communications for a 170, 50, and 25-mile race for bicyclists way up in the hills of Southern California. And that's the San Bernardino County Emergency Services that provided 32 radio communicators that covered 150 square miles all on Simplex. And here we see the race command post view up in the San Bernardino Mountains. Now, the race command consisted of recorder Terry. See, I told you we'd have ladies on the show. And we had other radio operators that you see pictured there. And again, they did this whole big race on Simplex. And to get ready for Simplex, all five aid stations for the bicycle operators had water, fresh fruit, snacks. And this particular station, supported by the Kiwanians Club, cooked over 150 pounds of bacon. That's a way to start out a race. Now, some of the folks are in shorts, but for those up at 6,000, make it 9,000 feet on Onyx Summit, that's Steve, KJ6KML on the left, and Marilyn, KE6RIN, they are dressed and they are trying to stay warm because about 3 hours later, they had to retreat when lightning was all around them right at the height of the race, and it was a little bit scary. A relay station was set up to link the two valleys together on Simplex, and one of the aid stations included the local radio station for the Big Bear bicycle regatta. And this is one of the two aid stations at the pass when the temp dropped 30 degrees, and that really made the bicyclists huddle up. And here you see them huddled up. They're upside down on purpose just to try and stay warm. And there they're getting a little nourishment right in the middle of one of the big cloud bursts. And as you can see at the top of the hill, it was pretty cold. And I'm very happy to say that 600 radio messages were passed. At one time, because of the adverse weather, they called it a mass casualty incident. But luckily, there were no medical emergencies. So a big thanks to the ECS team out of San Bernardino for doing such a great ride and a great job communicating. Thanks, Tracy, for those picks. And the next day, Dale and I and others got on to the United States Coast Guard Auxiliary net commemorating the U.S. Coast Guard 244th birthday. There we go. Birthday. And I'm very happy to say that a total of about 800 QSOs took place. I did about 80 or 90. Same thing with Dale. We had a good time. All right. This weekend, Bob's going to tell you all about the Duke City Ham Fest. They finally dried out. They had a huge gully whomper in Albuquerque, but they're now dry in the Ham Fest this weekend. And weekend after next, Duke City Ham, correction, weekend after next, after the Duke City Ham Fest, is Huntsville on the 16th and 17th. So this weekend, Duke City Ham Fest in Albuquerque. And I'll look forward to seeing all of our friends in San Diego, August 16th and 17th. Peoria, we got a ham class for instructors at the Peoria Superfest. And then more coming up in October at PacificCon. All right, Bob, that's what's happening out here. It's finally dried out and no rain to speak of other than what the ECS group in San Bernardino had to put up this past Saturday. Bob, back to you.
Well, very good. I appreciate all that. It's nice to see that activity. I just hope the rain comes out here. We need it in the Ozarks, let me tell you. My goodness. Well, as I told you in the beginning, this is the special night. It's ladies' night. We have really special people here tonight. And, of course, we have always have a lot of fun here on Ham Nation, but it's going to be a little extra fun tonight. Abby and Kendra are here. These are girls that they got their license when they were teenagers, and that's the guy in between them that he did not guide them. They guided him. Now, we're going to hear that story in just a little bit. That's pretty cool. But we have with us also Valerie, and Valerie's the DX queen. Valerie, how you doing? You okay today?
I'm doing great. I'm very excited to meet these girls. I'm very jealous, actually. I wish I got started in this hobby when I was a teenager. I wish I knew about ham radio. So this is going to be interesting to talk to these girls tonight.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. And George is not with us. He's really embedded in his project. Do you remember what his project was? Remember, he built the flashlight, and he has it set to see when the light's going to go out. Well, it's still running, and he's sitting there with the time clock. His wife's wondering, what's going on? Because he hasn't moved since last week. Did you know that, Gordo, that he's sitting there waiting for the light to go out? Did you hear that?
Yep, I can believe it.
Yeah, that's George. He'll be back next week. But Randy's going to be with us. Randy's got a couple of really good things. Of course, Randy always brings us good video. And, of course, Don Wilbanks will be back in a little bit with us to talk about Newsline. And who knows what Don will crank up before he gets here. Gordo, you got anything else before we move down to Lafayette, Louisiana?
Just some quick short shots, if Brian can bring them up. And the short shots are get out of your ham shack and make things happen. Last night, throughout the country, was National Night Out, and we encouraged all of our emergency radio groups to saddle up to their served agency. Here we are in the city of Costa Mesa, and CERT operators had a good opportunity to get out there. The Costa Mesa Emergency Group did, and we were celebrating National Night Out. And it gave us an opportunity to introduce ham radio to CERT members, some of which had a ham license. And there's a CERT member on the right and our own communications team member on the left. And they're both licensed ham radio operators. And Target stores throughout Southern California opened up their parking lot for National Night Out. A little bit of fun here at Costa Mesa PD with, of course, Chick-fil-A. Try a little harder to grill a chicken. There you go. And it's a good opportunity when you get out there and start working with your served agency that some of the officers can take a look and see who else is working within the city. And what we found was a good draw was not only the old wagon, but look at that radio. How many of you hams remember the old days of 49 and 46 megs from a pack set like this back in the 50s and 60s? So we had a radio display to draw all of the citizens in to look over radio gear and CB radio, ham radio, APRS, you name it. We had it all out there, and everybody has their own interest, and we found out kids liked old cars, and they were interested in the radios inside. And we also found out that kids love talking on radio. So we had live radio calls to others. And ham radio, dress the part as you see Corky is there, and get out there and make it happen. Thanks to ICOM for this wonderful frequency spectrum chart. Let's sort of tell the folks last night where all the different frequencies are. American Radio Relay League with their handouts. And, of course, the CW keys. Kids love to pound away and do a little bit of CW. We have them spell their name. It's a great way to get them involved. Thanks, Diane, for presenting all this last night at National Night Out. And, of course, the roller bag that is filled with an operating radio running on a battery. We can talk about battery technology. Over to the left is that 14-amp-hour lithium iron hydride battery pack that only weighs about 2 pounds. Just an amazing technology. And, of course, Clint was out at his location doing satellite passes. And, boy, that's a real crowd getter when you do a satellite pass. Even the ladies tonight have probably operated satellite. And when you're at a local fair presenting ham radio, be sure and eat well. Chocolate-covered bacon. How about that, Bob? Deep-fried butter. They call that the flatliner or the big one. It will be. So take advantage if you're working a county fair. There's Don, KE6BXT, the ATN guy. And he's just as having as much fun as those on the outside looking in. So strut your stuff. If you're with an emergency group, as the team members here are, then by golly, go out there and make ham radio happen. Don't just sit around inside the house, but get out there and enjoy. When we do Quartz Fest, look at all the fun that we have among all the RVers there and all the fun we have in looking out at all the neat stuff that is being displayed for a sale. And make ham radio happening by bonding on to someone that can really get us exposed. Leo and Ray with ICOM. Thank you, Leo, for all the bandwidth, and Ray for making that connection. And John Amadeo, and let's see, that's Julian, and that is Ray. John with Last Man Standing, thank you for exposing ham radio and making that happen. And, of course, the Queen Mary, Bob has been down there numerous times setting them up and getting them the right mics to get that big equipment rolling. This is great exposure for ham radio. Fire departments, they don't realize what ham operators can do until they actually see us in action. So, Coast Guard, another example. Yesterday, we did a lot of displays and a lot of operating. And over the weekend on Sunday, we had an operation station. And for 2 hours, the Coast Guard just looked over going, wow, you folks really make things happen. So I encourage all of you is get out of the shack and make ham radio happen, because we need more kids, and you're going to hear from them in just a moment. So that's a fun look at ham radio and all that ham radio can do. So don't just operate from the shack, but get out there and have fun, because you always have something that you learn, like I did last night out there in the ham radio world. So, Bob, back to you. That's ham radio in action.
As usual, it was a Gordon Spectacular. Man, that's a lot of work. And you do so much work. You, Susan, and everybody in that Costa Mesa area, you guys are terrific. And I agree, we have to take our hobby to the outside world. So many of the magazines we read and we love and all that, they only talk to us on the inside. We need to take it outside, as you just saw from Gordo. And we'll have more about it, but we've started a thing here in the Southwest Missouri. We're on a radio station that it's a safety about your own safety with what's going on, guns and how to get your gun permits. And now they have a whole segment on amateur radio that we're doing. Gordon and I did the first program a few weeks ago, and we'll have more information about that. But we're very excited to bring amateur radio to the outside world. Well, we don't have to bring ham radio to this household in Lafayette, Louisiana. I met this the girls in Dayton. I couldn't believe it. These girls are really something. They can speak to you. They can talk to you. However, they've been licensed for many years, and here we are tonight with the, I call them the Wilson twins, It almost sounds like a duel that would be at somewhere on a stage somewhere, but it's not. Their stage is 40 meters. Here is Kendra, Abby, and the most important, I guess, is their father, Galen. How are you doing? Abby, it's so nice to have you. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you. We're doing wonderful over here. The South.
That's great. And you brought your sister and, of course, your father with you, right?
Yep. They're right here with me. And my dad has been interested and licensed as long as I have. And my sister, 1 year less than me.
1 year less. Tell us a little story about how you got into amateur radio, because no one in your family was licensed. So how did that happen in the Wilson household?
It's a pretty funny story behind that, actually. Whenever I was in sixth grade, my best friend dilly-dallied, and she kept putting off her science project. And it got to the point where it was so late that if she did turn it in, it would have been an F. And she wouldn't have been able to graduate sixth grade. And so our science teacher said, well, I'll tell you what. If you take this amateur radio class at your local museum, and you pass and you get your license, I'll let you pass your science class. And so she didn't want to do it alone, and so she had me do it with her, and my dad did it with me at the same time. And that's how we got into it. And then we kind of found the club in Lafayette and just kind of been into it ever since.
Well, that's really great. And then you drug your sis into it. That's wonderful. And how old were you when you got your license, Abby?
I was 11, and then I was 13, 14, whenever I upgraded to general.
Oh, well, it was really great to work you on 40 meters the other day and had a really nice signal. And I guess you are one of the few amateur radio operators that have your own antenna engineer. Galen, do you get any time on the radio at all?
Well, they let me on the radio once in a while, but they like doing the QSOs. And, of course, once they get on and they start tag-teaming each other, it's hard to break the pileups and get them to get off. But, they let me on once in a while.
Well, tell us what happens on Thursday night around there, Abby.
Well, every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, my sister and I hold a youth net, and it's sort of like our attempt to get the kids who the kids who pass the amateur radio class at the museum. It's kind of like something to get them interested in it, to just, you know, get into it right away. And so they can get on the net through Echolink and 2 meters. And we've been doing that for how many years?
Two or three years,
and we really enjoy it.
That's great. And you're on 40 meters, I guess, quite often. I caught you the other night, and you had a great signal. You enjoy operating on HF and single sideband, stuff like that?
I do. We've had our licenses for a couple of years, but we didn't really start getting into the HF too much until probably this year in particular, because of W1AW stations, and that kind of sparked the reaction, the chain reaction.
And field day.
Oh, that's...
They did awesome at field day. Between the two of them, I think they made about 170 contacts between the two of us. So they did a very good job for our club.
That's great. Hey, Valerie, did you work 170 people on field day? That was pretty cool, huh?
That's outstanding, guys. Bravo. You know, I know it takes a lot of people. They've been doing it for years and don't even work that many people. But field day is a lot of fun, and that's really, I'm glad to see that you got into that. What part of the hobby do you guys, what's your favorite part of the hobby? Do you like running the nets or doing field day or fox hunting or what? What's your favorite thing to do?
My personal favorite would probably be fox hunting, because we have it at our Rain Ham Fest every year. And for the past 2 or 3 years, we've won, so. But the nets are cool and contesting's fun, too, so.
That's great. So now, do you like to be the fox or do you like to be the hunter?
Oh, the hunter.
Definitely.
We have a Yagi antenna made out of PVC measure. And tape measure. And we use that, and, you know, we walk through, and we kind of, oh, excuse me, don't mind me, just sweeping with my antenna. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to hit you.
Well, that's great. That's great. Now, you said you like to contest. Do you like to get into, like, the state CUSO parties, or what kind of contest do you guys like to do?
We just did the 13 colonies just recently, and those were pretty fun.
That was a lot of fun. We really liked that one. And the two special stations that were included in that. And all three of us worked all 15, including the other two stations. And I think we just got all of our cards back in the mail today or yesterday.
Yep.
And so we have little sleeves for them. And
well, that's great. Hey, what note are you guys on that Thursday night net that you do for Echolink? Do you know what that is?
I don't know it off the top of my head,
okay.
But I have it right here so I can pull it up.
Okay, great. Because I'm sure people out there want to know what that is so they can talk to you guys. That's all for me. Back to you, Bob, if you want to ask them anything.
All right, that's wonderful. Well, one of the things that I want to point out to everybody, and Galen, you can probably answer this. You hear and see a lot of people that don't, they're just getting into the hobby, and they're like, oh, I don't know, I'm going to have to spend at least $12,000 to get into this hobby and have any fun. I'm telling you, you are expounding on how much fun you've had. And you're doing this with about a 20-year-old transceiver, and which is very high quality. That 740 was cool. So, Galen, you don't have a lot of money invested in your amateur radio station, but yet you're having more fun than most people that's got $10,000 or $12,000. Is that not right? Where did you find the 740, Galen?
Bob. We actually have a very modest station. We only run 100 watts, and it's an IC740. It's about a 1980, early 80s vintage. And I actually found it through our club reflectors email, and it was from an estate. And the guy was selling it, and I think I paid $150 for it. And the antennas that we use is all strictly homemade. I have a multi-band dipole in the backyard that I scavenged the wire. The only thing I bought for that antenna was the ladder line, and we just picked up stuff from Hamfest. So all told, I think maybe $500 in our station, and we're working the United States and some DX as well.
Well, that is just wonderful, and it's the kind of stories we like to hear, because, as I said, so many people think you have to have all this. Well, all of this is not just a ham radio station. It's my station lab where I design products, so it's really not the normal, and so I am so thrilled to hear you tell all of us that you can do so many things. Gordo, what a great story, and what a great Elmering, huh?
Well, it really sounds great. And Kendra and Abby, and this one will be for Kendra. What was the best part that you remember of your ham class at the museum? I teach instructors, so from you, what was the highlight of that ham class at the museum? Kendra, go ahead.
We have a setup at the museum where we took it. And it was kind of cool because we got to have a little hands-on experience before we got our license. And I thought that was really cool.
Oh, that's terrific. And Abby, what do you remember as an outstanding demo that your instructor did at the museum?
They touched briefly on Echolink, and that really was fascinating to me that, you know, you could just, you know, you use the internet and ham radio in the same sort of boat. And I thought that was terrific. And that really inspired me, because you could use your phone and you could talk to places like England or other places like that without having the the rig for it, I guess you could say.
Right. No big honking radio and huge antenna. Well, that's great. Well, ladies, thank you so much for answering that question. And Bob, now back to you. Bob?
Well, this has been just absolutely fabulous, and we're so glad you joined us, and we'll probably have you back again. I have a lot of possibilities we can do with having you on the program. And where do you operate mostly on HF? You have a certain frequency or band that you like the most, Abby?
Well, 40 meters is my favorite, but I don't actually have a specific band. I just kind of, you know, I just flip-flop around and just listen in. Just, that's mostly what I do. I just kind of listen.
Yeah. You're kind of like Valerie. You just hunt and peck and flop down there and pound them. That's the way you do it, isn't it, Valerie?
That's, you know what, when I first started off, that's the way I did it. I listened probably 3 months before I hit the transmit button on my radio. So listening's a good thing to do when you're first starting off, just to give you the confidence before you transmit. But it's also fun just to listen in, too. So I definitely sandbagged a lot back when I got started. And I had a used station, too. Everybody starts off used. I think that's the way to go. And that's really cool that you guys were able to do that very cheap like that. And it's really a good example for everybody starting off that, like Bob said, you don't need a lot of money to get started in this hobby.
Not at all. Not at all. Well, we really appreciate letting us coming into your home tonight, Galen. And it sounds like the Wilson's family's pretty solid. I have one last question. I guess I could ask this to you, Galen. When's Mom going to get her license?
Well, the answer from Mom is no way, no how. So we're still working on her, but I think that's going to be a tough row to hoe there. But anyway, if anybody would like to check in on the Girls Net, it's every Thursday night, 7 Central, and it's on node 759629, and that's our local club repeater, W5DDL. So we would love to have y'all check in on our net.
Okay, give that one more time. 759?
759629.
Okay, just to make sure everybody gets it. That's wonderful, and we really appreciate your time. So we'll be looking for you on Demands and on Echolink, and any time that we hear you on, you know that I personally will be calling you, and I know everybody else will. So thanks very much in joining us tonight. Thanks for making Ham Radio so much fun for everybody, and we'll be back and visit the Wilson family again and see how many countries you've worked and all that kind of stuff. So best regards to you, and thanks so much for being there tonight.
Well, thank you very much. We really appreciate it, and the show is great, and it's a great way to get the voice of Ham out to everybody. I know I try to get non-hams to watch it, so try to pique their interest as well.
Thank you. It was great.
Yes, thank you for having us.
Okay, everybody. That's the Wilson family, and we're so thrilled that you could join us tonight, and we'll be back and visit you again. Valerie, that probably bring back good old times when we all started out as teenagers and getting a little nervous to get on the air, but it didn't seem like it took them long to get to it, so that's great. Valerie, let's see what's going on in your DX and contest world. I bet you got some stories tonight.
Yeah, I do. Well, you know what? Those guys were great. They're a great inspiration. We got to keep get the young people into this hobby, and I think they're going to be a great plus to do that. So that's wonderful. Yeah, one thing I wanted to talk about, it's really not DXing or contesting, but it's something we all go through, and I kind of touched on it a little bit earlier tonight. When you first get your license or when you first upgrade, and Brian, if you want to go ahead and start off my slide there. Now, when you see this, do you go running in the other direction? Well, you know, actually, it's probably not a fair question because I do, too, because that clown's a little creepy. But I'm mostly talking about the microphone. If you're afraid of that microphone, you could have... mic fright. And you know what? We've all had it. I'm going to say at least 80 to 90% of the people I talk to have had it when they first got their ticket and when they first got out on HF. So I'm just going to kind of give you a little bit of a script or guideline. And if you want to print this off and have it in front of you, it may help you get over that hump or that initial fear of getting out there and making those first few contacts, other than your buddy down the street or some sked you set up with somebody you knew. So the first thing you're going to want to do turn on your radio, obviously, and pick a band that's open and tune up and down the frequency. Find what you think is a clear frequency, and you're going to want to sit there for a little bit, park it there, and listen for a couple minutes. Make sure you don't hear anybody. And then you're going to hit that microphone button and you're going to say, is this frequency in use? Wait a couple more seconds. Say it again. Is this frequency in use? If nobody comes back to you, then here comes the brave part. You're going to call CQ, CQ, CQ. This is, and then you're just going to give your call sign in standard phonetics, calling CQ and standing by. Now, you might not get a call right away like that. They're still tuning you in. So wait a few seconds and do it again. CQ, CQ, CQ. This is November Victor 9 Lima calling CQ and standing by. Now, if somebody comes back to your call, make sure you have pen and paper right next to you, and you're going to want to write down their call sign, their name if they give it, and the signal report if they give it, and they might also give their location, the DX country or the state they're in. So if try and write all that down if you can, and if you have time, glance at your radio and see if you can see their signal strength. Now, if you don't get all that, don't worry. You're just starting off. It's to be expected, so don't kill yourself over this, but at least try and get the call sign. So you can always ask for the other stuff on the next go around. So now when they're done, it's going to come back to you, and all you're going to do is respond by saying hello and give their call sign and give them the signal report and the state and country that you're in, and tell them it's nice to meet them, give them your name, and then you're going to want to spell your name out phonetically. And then ask if they got it. QSL, did you understand that? So typically it would be, hello, K9EID, you're 5'9 here into Wisconsin. It's nice to meet you, Bob. My name is Valerie, Victor Alpha Lima, Echo Romeo India Echo, QSL. And once you do that, it sends it back to them. So now they can respond if they need any clarification. Now, if you want to get brave and go into a reg two, I suggest you write down a bunch of different questions. So instead of asking QSL with the question mark at the end, throw in one of these questions or any other questions you might think of on your own. I put in like this, the mainstream question is, what are your operating conditions? That's a very common question, and for good reason. Everybody likes to talk about the radio, their antenna, their amplifier. So that's always a good one to throw out there. If you want to ask them something a little more not so mainstream, you can tell them that you just got your license and ask them how long they've been licensed, or ask them how they got interested in the hobby, or did they have an Elmer and how did they meet their Elmer? What's their favorite part of the hobby? Do they like to DX? If they do, ask them how many countries they have or what was the first country they ever worked. Another good one might be, did ham radio have any influence on the job they had? Now, there's so many other questions you can probably think of, but what I'm going to recommend is that you write them down or print this off and have it in front of you, because no matter how prepared you think you are, when you get out there and make those first couple of QSOs, every thought you have in your head is going to disappear completely. So you're going to want to have it there on paper, and that's why you want to write down their name and their call sign, because you're going to forget it all because you're going to be so nervous. So once you do that, and the more you do it, the easier it's going to be. So now you're done with this QSO, and you want to move on to the next one. It's just real easy. All you have to do is say thank you, give them their name and their call sign, and tell them it was nice to meet them, and give them a 7-3. And then it sends it back to them, and just make sure that you give them time to say goodbye. And when they send it back to you, you're just going to give your call sign in standard phonetics and say QRZ, and that lets the world know you're ready to take the next QSO. Now, when you're done for the night, all you have to do is say your call sign, you're going, and tell them that you're going QRT, and that's it. And you need to just congratulate yourself. Big pats on the back, because you know what? That's really a big accomplishment, believe it or not. You're not alone in being scared to get on the air and make that first contact. So anyway, that's that for that. And I'm going to tell you, seriously, it took me probably 2 weeks before I first transmitted on 2 meters. I just sat and listened the whole time, and I'd try and get the courage, and I just never did. Eventually, I did, but and then on HF, it took a little bit longer, but I eventually got there. But I wish I would have had this written down and in front of me, because I just goofed it up so bad. So anyway, that's that. Also, I wanted to tell you, you know, we were talking about WRTC, the Olympics of Amateur Radio, a couple weeks ago, and the stats have been coming out, you know, and I've been looking at those. And what I found was pretty interesting. The top team, I noticed, they were averaging 190 QSOs an hour, and most of their QSOs, 85 to 90%, were CW. That's pretty darn amazing over a 24-hour period with only 100 watts. I also noticed, out of the top six radios, gold, silver, and bronze, five of the six of those radios were ICOMs. So Ray's got to be proud, one of our sponsors. So I just thought I'd throw that out there. There were a lot of K3s out there, but at the top of the pile were the ICOMs. So that was pretty darn cool. Coming up as far as DXing goes, it's summer, so it's a little slow, but there's still some action going on. Reunions, he's going to be there on Reunion Island till next week. Also, Mauritius Island's going to be on the air for another week and a half. And you can still work Laos until Friday. And you remember me talking about Rotuma 2 weeks ago? Well, it turns out that got canceled due to bad weather. So he's going to try and get it rescheduled for towards the end of September. So I'll keep you posted on that one. And that's about all I have for now. Did you get all that down, Bob? Because I'm going to test you later.
We got it all down. We got it all down. I'm ready for the test. And for all of you that missed some of that or need it, why, you know the replay. Tomorrow afternoon, this will be back on the replay, so you can take advantage of that. Valerie, thanks a lot. We really appreciate you bringing this wonderful information to all of us that don't really play in that DX and contest world, but it's very important. It's all important. That's what's so great about this. The emergency stuff that you hear a lot of from Gordo, the fun that the girls have, the technical stuff that George gets into, and all of the many things. It's just really important that we gather all these different avenues and bring them here on Ham Nation, and that's what we try to do. It gets a little tough because we're getting so many different segments while we drop out every other week or so. I hope you guys all understand. That's why we won't see George here tonight, but next week we won't see a couple of us. So it's one of those things. We're trying to make it so interesting. And speaking of interesting, we're very fortunate to have one of the great videographers of amateur radio, Randy, A7AGE, and I'm sure that if you just dial around much on the internet about ham radio, you have seen some of Randy's work, and it's really great. So we're very happy to have him join the family here on Ham Nation. So let's go watch a video from Randy tonight in our Smoke and Solder segment, see what Randy's got cooking.
ARRL Centennial Convention, Part 1, Convention Scenes, July 2014, Hartford, Connecticut. I met up with Gordo at the floor, and he had a few words for us.
All right, everybody say hi to Ham Nation.
Hi to Ham Nation.
Ham Nation. Hey. ARRL 100. Absolutely a classic event. Classic. Just take a look.
And then we found Mike operating.
On the Kilowatt Zero.
Kilowatt Zulu 9 Alpha.
Oh, KZ9A. Go ahead. Oh, yeah. He gave us a 20 over 9. Says we're the loudest signal on the band. And he watches Ham Nation regularly. Good job, KZ9A. Here's Michael, Garlic Mike.
Okay, hey, thank yours truly
look
here. It's my day saver battery.
This. This is his whole station.
We're having
and
fun
a beer.
Oh, look at the antennas using.
Oh my God. Jim's the contact. We got you in the log here. Still got remote rig, which is operating.
with the wireless board running Wi-Fi into my cell phone with a 4G hotspot. And, of course, I got the remote rig with the TS-480 going back to my home QTH in Gilroy, California.
Morning.
Good morning.
There was a ribbon cutting to open the Centennial Convention.
President of the ARRL. Welcome to the second century. Thank you for being part of the ARRL's National Centennial Convention. Thank you so much for being part of it. We're going to have a great convention. These are exciting times for amateur radio. This convention is just one part of it. So thank you for being here. We're going to have a super time this weekend. And now, yeah, these are scary things. All right, we're going to do it now.
The convention center was large, cool, dry, and with carpeted floors. It made it easy for everybody to look around. Lots of room. ARRL was engraving Centennial name badges right there on the floor. Ray Novak and John Amadale from Last Man Standing in the ICOM booth with lots of radios where you could twist the knobs. Kenwood with their mighty TS-990 and APRS radios were on display. Lusco and their ladies were happy to see everyone in Hartford. Yaesu had many radios, including their 5,000 and 9,000.
So what did you rediscover?
Hey, I found Flex Radio.
The galley with their Italian-made paddles. Listen to this operator go. I tried my fist on this gear, but I'm not so good.
Showing off, no.
This fellow was operating a KX3 from the show floor, and he operates the paddle from the backside. I've never seen this before. Text messaging in the 1800s meant Western Union Telegraph using American Morse code.
I can't read it.
Never go.
Clickly clack clack. Resistance is futile. MFJ had lots of antennas and other things on display, including many of their amplifiers with the tops opened up so you can look inside. I really like the blue LEDs for display purposes only. These fellows are looking at a MFJ magnetic loop antenna. The HamFest is a good time to buy your PL259 or other connectors. AMSAT had a model of one of their 4-inch cube satellites on display in their booth. BuddyPole is always busy with their portable antennas when they exhibit at a ham fest. The Antique Wireless Association was showing this old spark gap transmitter and this old receiver. Beautiful equipment. They also had on display some artwork, including a photo of the old man, Maxim, as we pan down this 1916 Art Deco QST with a 10-cent cover price, comes into view. A HamFest is a good time to get yourself a embroidered call sign hat, so I would get there early in the day to get your order in, because they can get pretty busy during the show. I really like watching the machines run. T-shirts and hats were all available at the K9 ID booth at the Centennial HamFest.
Uh-oh.
Photobomb.
What a great venue here. And can't believe it. Look at all the stuff ICOM brought this year.
I've been told by several people that I look lonely without George with me, so there's one of the animation guys for you.
Yeah.
The Collins radio van with the ultimate Collins S-Line equipment inside, fully operational. A free Tektronix scope, you just have to lug it home. But this Hickok tube checker was anything but free. I guess you better have a lot of tubes to check for that price. Get yourself some old military manuals. Cheap. $5. They'll make you a deal if you buy them all. Or maybe pick yourself up a ham radio or Raspberry Pi dummies guide. You can even buy drones at the convention.
Right now, indoor,
with this LCD display with power levels.
That's one where you press it. It's called turbo flip. To the
up, up, and away.
So you don't need it.
What can we use this for?
On my left hand
and
side,
never to be seen again. In the ARRL educational area, they were shown this tape measure antenna, and they had this little motor here that caught my eye with nothing but a battery, a magnet, and a coil of wire. And even a little satellite demonstration. Tom, W1TP, had his Enigma machines on display showing how that worked.
A becomes L, A becomes C. Now you go back into the starting point.
The starting
type in L.
The three rotors are also given.
It becomes A.
And you type in the day's key. First, the Enigma cover must be open.
It becomes A.
Then,
thanks for watching. Randy, K7AGE. Look for part two of the W1AW station soon.
That was super, really super. Hey, Gordo, I still have my Vibroplex. How do you like that?
Wow.
Yeah. And
now that,
yeah,
that's pretty fancy,
I don't know what to
Bob.
Do with it.
Yeah, I've
had
got
it since...
My, I've got mine here. It's a little bit different, but it still works.
Yeah.
Look at
there. Mr. Don. Yay. How you doing, Mr. Don?
That was my old one.
Well, see, you got the good old J38, kiddo. That's super. Yeah, but see, it all came to this, man. Real microphones.
Man.
Believe it or not, that was a real microphone. It was not a telephone, but it's actually a microphone made from the telephone. One of the very, very first microphones that any kind of amateur radio or any kind of voice communications had. And, of course, look where it's gotten us all, baby. So much fun. This hobby is just absolutely so much fun. But when we talk about fun, we have a lot of fun when we, I don't know, what is it about Louisiana? Let's go down and see what Don's got going. Don, how are you tonight? I hope you got to see the girls tonight.
Yeah, the girls were awesome. Let's get right into the news. And I've got some stuff to tell you about the girls and Lafayette and their repeater and everything else. Let's go ahead and get into the news now, Brian. Go ahead. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 1929, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, August 6, 2014. The just concluded ARRL National Centennial Convention in Hartford, Connecticut, helped to boost efforts to line up co-sponsors for the Amateur Radio Parity Act of 2014, also known as HR 4969. Amateur Radio Newsline's Gary Bernstein, N9VU.
H.R. 4969 was introduced in the U.S. House of Representatives with bipartisan support in late June. It asked Congress to direct the FCC to apply the reasonable accommodation three-part test of the PRB1 federal preemption policy to private land use restrictions regarding antennas. The FCC has indicated that it will not act to provide the same legal protections from private land use agreements without direction from Congress. The Amateur Radio Parity Act of 2014 is an attempt by the league to muster the needed push to get the FCC to act on this matter. Speaking at the convention, ARRL General Counsel Chris Imlay, W3KD, says that there already is precedent for the FCC to act. The commission's so-called over-the-air receiving device rules currently preempt private land use agreements to permit the installation of television antennas and satellite dishes. Based on this, Imlay suggests that making the leap to reasonably accommodating outdoor amateur radio antennas is within the FCC's regulatory scope. This, given the established strong federal interest in effective amateur radio communication.
There's a lot more to the story in this week's Amateur Radio Newsline report. Some good work by the Maritime Mobile Service Network as it helped in a recent land-based incident. Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF.
The Maritime Mobile Service Network normally helps hams at sea, but on July 24th, it took on a land-based situation. Net Control Station Ken Porter, AC0ML, received a distress call from George Molnar, KF2T, on 14.300 MHz, which is the net's longtime home frequency. Molnar told Porter that he had witnessed a tractor-trailer overturn on Nevada Highway 318, approximately 26 miles south of U.S. Route 93. The location was in a deep canyon with no cellular telephone service or any ham radio repeaters available in the area. Once he had the information, Porter called the Las Vegas Police Department and told it about the incident and its location. The Las Vegas police in turn notified the Nevada Highway Patrol. Porter remained on the phone with the police in case the dispatcher required any further information. Thankfully, there were no injuries, but the driver of the overturned truck was reported to be somewhat in shock. Highway 318 remained blocked until the perishable items that were on the overturned vehicle could be cleaned away.
Meanwhile, in California,
Northern California Ham Radio Emergency Communications teams were called out Saturday, July 26th. This in support of those fighting the El Portal wildfire burning in Tuolumne County. Hams were assigned to shadow Red Cross officials and provide communications at a shelter in the town of Groveland. A number of repeaters were linked to provide a direct communication channel from the shelter to the Red Cross Nerve Center in Fresno. In all, the hams who volunteered spent close to a full day before being dismissed and returning home.
That's Jim Dameron, NATMW. The Boy Scouts will be on the air as K2BSA from this year's Scout Air Fest, August 8th through the 10th. Again, here's Jim Dameron.
The Camporee will take place on the grounds of the Lewis University Airport in Romeoville, Illinois. High-frequency operations will be on 80 through 15 meters using CW, SSB, and some digital modes. Talk-in on 70 centimeter FM and the Campfire Talkabout will be on the 2-meter FM band. With nearly 4,000 registered scouts expected to attend, Scout Air Fest will be one of the largest events of its type this year. More information, including specific frequencies and QSL information, on the web, tinyurl.com/Illinois-Scouts.
And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news brought to you each and every week for over 35 years and counting. At www.arnewsline.org. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW 73. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Hey, man, it was amazing to see Abby and Kendra on tonight. I have talked to them on that net on Thursday nights, and if you're wondering the repeater, it's the Whiskey 5 Delta Delta Lima, W5DDL repeater, and it's Echolink node number 759629. Now, you know who else checks into that net? If you remember back a few months ago when we reported on the Rain Louisiana Ham Fest, I told you about a little 8-year-old guy who passed his test. His name is Sam. We've got a picture of me and Sam at a recent ham fest. KG5AYI, you may remember Sam. Sam checks into that net, and his dad, Chad, as well. So just a lot of fun. Now, I want to talk to you about, you know, I mention kids all the time because kids are the lifeblood of this hobby. And I mentioned that if any young ham wants to send me an email and let me know that you're out there and watching, well, I got another email. I'm getting one or two every week, it seems like. Hi, Don. Just got finished watching the latest episode of Ham Nation. Heard your request. My name is Ethan Best. I am 16 years old. We have a picture of Ethan from his QRZ page. I was licensed in January of 2013. There he is. My call sign is KC9YDN, located right out of Nashville, Indiana. I'm only a tech, but I try to take advantage of 6 and 10-meter openings and some DX. Have a great day. Ethan Best, KC9YDN. He and I emailed back and forth. He is studying for the extra. So there you go. Ethan, congratulations. Welcome to the family. Everybody, let's give Ethan a hand. That's awesome.
All right.
Yeah, and if you're a young ham, well, look me up on QRZ and let me know that you're watching. We'll give you a mention, a shout-out, as the kids are saying these days. So just great stuff. And it's the lifeblood of the hobby. I've said many, many, many times, this ain't no old man's hobby. And that's the proof right there.
Hey, Don, do you know, is that repeater linked anywhere that you could listen on the internet to it other than Echolink?
I don't know about that. I know it's on Echolink. I don't know if it's anywhere else, but it's Whiskey 5 Delta Delta Lima. And I believe if you just put W5DDL into Google, you'll come up with their club website. And they do the Rain Louisiana Ham Fest every March near Lafayette, which is a great ham fest, by the way. If you're down in this area, it's a good one. So, but I think Echolink may be the only way. But a great bunch of people down there. There it is. There's the W5DDL website. So good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Oh, that's great.
That's W5DDL himself. But anyway, that is the club call as well, I believe. So. Good stuff. So Ethan and Sam and Abby and Kendra and all the other young hams, we're just so glad to have you out here amongst us. Hey, let's take a pause for the cause and pay a couple of bills and get a word from our friends over at ICOM, shall we?
HF, VHF, or UHF, ICOM has you covered wherever you go. Check out the IC7410 and IC7200, two HF radios that employ ICOM's signature DSP technology. The IC7410 is an all-mode HF transceiver. It's got dual conversion super heterodyne system, a built-in auto-tuner, and built-in 15 kHz first IF filter and optional 3 kHz and 6 kHz filters. The IC7200 offers solid performance and digital flexibility. It also includes selectable filter width and shape, excellent receiver performance, and it's compact and rugged, even with a water-resistant front panel. And when it comes to mobiles, have you considered the V8000 for your next adventure on 2 meters? It's got 75 watts of power output in a rugged die-cast aluminum chassis, fast memory channel scanning with dynamic memory scan, complete radio control in the palm of your hand with the versatile mic, backlight customization, and weather scan alert and amateur radio first. And let's not forget ICOM's line of D-Star handheld radios, too. The IC92AD is one rugged VHF-UHF dual bander. Its submersible construction can withstand harsh outdoor elements, dual watch capability, a built-in voice recorder in DV mode, and optional GPS mic. It's great for MCOM and search and rescue. The IC80AD is another dual bander with extended receive coverage. It's the handheld companion to the ID880H mobile rig that I use, and it's an affordable option for hams interested in trying D-Star. It's durable and splash-proof, and it has NOAA weather radio pre-programmed. The UHF D-Star ID31A has so many features for on-the-go operation. It's got built-in GPS. It's compact and lightweight with waterproof construction. It's got a micro SD card slot and repeater list up for quick access to nearby D-Star repeaters. So make sure you visit ICOMAmerica.com/HF-VHF-UHF for more information on ICOM's line of on-the-go radios.
And you can visit ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation for more information on the ICOM Buy It Now program. And also enter ICOM's weekly drawing for ICOM swag like T-shirts and hats. Don't forget to check out the details on ICOM's monthly grand prize drawing. You could win a free ICOM radio. It's ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation. The official rules are there. Check out all of ICOM's previous drawing winners. Sign up and good luck. And speaking of those previous drawing winners, I believe we have the July winner was Mark, WA7WAR. He won the brand new ID51A. So you can get in on the fun as well by going to the ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation website. Bob, I believe it's back to you now.
All right. Great job as usual, Don. That's super. And, you know, we're getting, all of us get a lot of letters and emails from you guys and gals. It really is great to hear from you all. And I want to start reading a few of these. If we have time in some of these weeks, we're always so short of time and same tonight, but we're going to stick a few in here. One of them I thought was very interesting to read it from South Africa, ZS1PI. And he's just telling us that he loves the different clips that we do here on Ham Nation. And he was asking about how to hook up some of his rigs. And again, I get so many requests about hooking up a mixer and audio. And I guess we need to go further into that because there is a lot to it, but yet it becomes quite simple in its nature. Another one is from Dennis Payne. Dennis he's done a lot of things, and he's got a 570, and he thanks us for the video and all of the talk about grounding. He put this 570 in line and had nothing but RFI, and boy, how many times we hear that. And he heard us talking about, here we go, guys, get ready for it. Here it is, the magic little piece. He put one of the ground lifts from the power supply, and it stopped his RFI. It doesn't create any kind of problem other than stop it. right now. It's amazing. You know, and I'm not saying it's going to cure all of your RFI problems, but you have these tremendous ground loops that you created when you plug all these things together, and you come down and plug that final power supply in, and that third pin is creating a nice ground loop. You have to break that ground loop. Of course, you have to make sure that the shield is carrying the ground throughout the station and back to the main ground in your fuse box. But if you have all of them tied together in different locations, oh boy. And thank you, Dennis. That was great. I'm glad that it helped you. And last but not least, from my great friend, John, I keep saying I want to have him on. John is HK3C. And if you tune around 20 meters at all, you've heard John. He has a gorgeous signal, wonderful voice, and he'd been using our HC5s for decades, but he has a great signal, and he's from Canada, but he's living in Colombia for many, many years. Thanks, John, for watching the program and being there. We're going to have you on. Last but not least, I got to tell you another little aspect of ham radio. If you don't pay attention to beacons. Beacons are incredibly important, and there's a lot of them around. Why do you want a beacon? You want it to tell you what the band's doing. Yeah, you can go look at all these sites, and they're going to tell you this happens, that happens, and all that. But there's nothing like listening. And you do that by going to beacons and put them in memory so you can go tune in. 10 Meters has a really neat beacon. It's right down the road here near Branson, Missouri, in Highlandville. And one of my good radio buddies from back in the 60s in the St. Louis area, Al Gallo, now lives there, W0ERE. He's the guy that did that trailing wire beacon to Dayton every year. Well, he's got one on 10 meters, and it's 28.2898, 282898, 28.2898. And you want to put that into 10 meters, and if you hear that, you know the band is open. A lot of times, the band's open, there's nobody talking. Same thing with 6 meters. I keep several frequencies just scanning on 6 meters in the beacon area. And if I start hearing beacons pop up, I'll move up into the phone band. So pay attention to some of those beacons, and you can look them up. There's a lot of information about that going. Gordo, do you you pay attention to beacons? I bet you. Any word on beacons out there?
We sure do. In fact, we look at them on the Spectrum Scope on the ICOM and Kenwood equipment, and I can just glance down, and when I see all those little spikes come up, it lets me know that the band is open. And a happy birthday to Martin KJ6UUA, your little brother Dan AC9IL. Wishes you the best on this week. So, Bob, what a great show tonight with Abby and Kendra and, of course, Val and all the ladies. Super. Back to you, Bob.
No, we're not done yet. We got one of the more important ladies that's here every week with us, and that's Amanda, A1DDN. Amanda, how are you?
Hey, you guys, I'm doing great. And loved Abby and Kendra. They're so smart. I'm, like Val said, I wish I would have started so much earlier. So they're really great gals. Can't wait to hear them more on the radio. And looks like they're doing their EchoLink net. So I hope a lot of you guys join up with them on that. And encourage your kids, obviously, to join up on their youth net there. So anyhow, you guys have got quite a few questions here. And Val, you did such a great job tonight. Thank you for letting people know what they should do to help break their mic shyness. It's so important to get past that little part. Let's see. I've got a couple of things here for Gordo. Mr. Gordo, a lot of people would like you to talk about Jamboree on the Air. And if you were willing to make a video to help encourage some of those kiddos to get on the air during October 17th through 19th this year.
You know, I think that's important, and I've made a note, and I've already been looking into Jamboree on the Air, because what a great way to get more kids involved. So I'll give you a report, Amanda, in the next couple of weeks of what success we may have. We may get Randy involved, because he's the main video guy, along with Dale. We'll make it happen. Back to you, Amanda, and great to see you all in pink tonight.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Gordo. We appreciate that. I'm looking forward to Jamboree on the Air. I've only made one Jamboree on the Air contact ever, and I did send them a QSL card. So, you guys, that's important, too. Let's see. Oh, Gordo, I have a lot of stuff for you, so stay tuned. Any info on all of the California wildfires? Is Aries doing anything to help out there?
Yes, both. Aries, as well as Racy's, as well as individual ham units, part of the Emergency Communication Service up north, are working with municipalities and served agencies, providing a great deal of communications, not necessarily where the fire is, but what I'm hearing from little tidbits that they send down. A lot of logistical information about needing backup cots and needing more water and things like that. So, yes, served agencies are finding that ham radio can help out because many times their satellite phones can't get through because of all of the particles in the smoke. So ham radio gets through up in Northern California.
That's great. And you know what, you guys? That's what Aries is typically going to do. You're not going to play an important role, but it's still a role that needs to be filled. So thanks, Gordo, for the info on that. I have a quest here from somebody, KF4UTH Tom. He's bidding us all to build a radio from Lego. So I think we should pass that on to George. We'll tell him about that when he's on the show next. And let's see. You know, I just one more question here, and I've had a lot of tower questions here lately. Maybe we should do a show on towers. Mr. Bob, let's go with you on this. He says he doesn't want a tower because he has a crazy lady down two doors. So I don't know about that. But he wants to know, Wyndham or fan dipole, what do you think is best?
I like the fan dipoles because there again, it's an antenna that can be tuned, cut the frequency. When I was in Illinois, the last station I had there, and gosh, it went on for 15 years, I had a 40 and an 80 meter dipole onto one feed line, had a flat top on 75 and then a little bit of inverted V on 40. And I got to tell you, it just works so well. And we need to do more of that because it's simple. It doesn't cost anything. A couple of dipoles and it really worked well. And of course, one of the things about that is they are resonant on those two bands. Now I was able to work a little bit of 15 meters with the 40, but nah, then you go to the TA-33 or the Force 12s or whatever kind of Yagis for the higher frequencies. But it worked well. Fan dipole is my pick on that, Amanda.
Thank you very much, Bob. Appreciate that input. And I know Don's here as well. I'm going to say hello, Don. I don't have any questions for you, my friend. I'm so sorry, but I do have a statement. Do you know what season it is?
Could be the season of the witch.
Really? I'm talking about preseason football. Hello?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's, When do the Saints play the whatever those guys are, the Mannings? No, he is not even there with you guys anymore, is he? The Broncos. When do the Saints play the Broncos?
What? No. Manning is still here, baby. And, yeah, actually, tomorrow night, Broncos are playing the Seahawks in Denver. That's going to be interesting. Preseason, though, so it's not going to be as exciting. But I just had to bring that up. And I have one more announcement. I forgot, you guys. There's a Usenet on EchoLink also on Saturdays, and it's K8DAR-R, Kilo 8 Delta Alpha Romeo Dash Romeo. So you guys stay tuned for that. I'll send it back to you, Don.
I love the Usenets. The Usenets are awesome, and you need to check in. I got my old man glasses on. You need to check in and check out Abby and Kendra on their net on the W5DDL on EchoLink tomorrow night. 759-629 is the node number. I'm going to try to be on there. 7 o'clock Central Time. They do a great job, and my little buddy Sam will probably be on there too. So, Bob, I'll send it back to you on that note. Love the kids.
Well, one thing about that, Amanda, somebody wanted to build a radio out of Legos. I don't think you should have George do it. I think you should have Don do it. Don't you think, Amanda?
Because I'm childish. Yes, him and Tyler together, I think it should be his first science project in high school, I heard. Did I read that?
Hey, Let me embarrass my son. I put this on Facebook already. I went with he's going into he's going to be a freshman in high school. God help me, ninth grader. And we went in tonight to get his schedule. And the lady on the faculty, we walk up. You know, my last name starts with W. We walk up to the W through Z or whatever, and she goes, "What's your name?" He says, "Will Banks." She said, "First name?" He said, "No, that's my last name." I swear to God, he said that. I about fell out.
I looked at him and I
went, "You said what?" He said, "No, that's my last name."
Oh goodness! Well,
love that boy,
Amanda. We're just about running out of time. I just noticed something going through the I wish I could watch the chat room all the time. There was one in here who Dennis put it up. Check this, Gordo. Dennis says he just needs to put his tower up while his wife is out of town. You think that's a good idea, Gordon?
Yeah, that's the way to do it. That's called ham radio technique. And when she comes home, honey, it's been there the whole time.
Yeah, and when you buy stuff at Hamfest, you put it in a closet for like 3 weeks, and then you finally bring it out, and your wife says, "Did you just buy that?" I said, "Oh no, I've had this for a long time."
And I only paid $11 for it. Everything costs $11.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
a nickel 95. That's right, a nickel 95.
So and so gave me this. They were no longer using it. I hear that a lot.
Exactly.
Okay. Amanda, thanks for joining us tonight and taking things and trying to put a handle on all of the good fun over on the chat room. But the fun continues on all of the afternets. Where are you going to be, Amanda?
I think that I'm going to be on 72, 78, or wherever they are. I have no thunderstorms tonight, so I'm able to join them. Mm-hmm.
Very good. Look around, 68, 78, 72, 68, 78. 72. Look around in there. And Gordo, you doing something out there? Where will you be?
Oh, yeah. I'm listening right now. You can hear it in the background, 72, 78. And I think the entire gang is there. So we'll be on 72, 78.
Okay. Bill just said it's probably going to drop down a little to 75. So look in there. It's 14.275. You have to move around once in a while. And then 38.47. And then the dewdrop node is 355-800. 355-800. That's the dewdrop node. So check some of these out. There's a lot of fun. It carries on for another couple of hours. And we want you all to stay in touch with us. Send us emails. Our calls are on QRZ. You know how to find us all. We love hearing from you. And Gordon and I and George, not together, but separately, we're doing club meetings. And I've gotten 3 requests today alone because the fall's cranking up and up comes the clubs getting more active. I love doing this. I love teaching and sharing this science. So you wanna pay attention to this. It really is a lifeblood of a lot of clubs. They need some activities, and this is all free. All you got to do is have a good Skype signal, and you're out there ready to go. So just contact any one of us, and we'd be glad to do that for you. I'll see a lot of you in Albuquerque this weekend, and we'll see you right back here next weekend. Anything you have to close, Gordo?
Nope. Garlic Mike is already warming up. 72.
Good evening from Joroy. Yeah.
There he is. He's on the air now. See you all on 72-78. Have a great time in Albuquerque, Duke City Hamfest. That's going to be fun for all this weekend.
Okay. And Don, you're going to be on with the girls on their net on Thursday night. That'll be fun, huh?
Yep, going to do my best, and I'm going to try to learn how to spell CW
all right
correctly 3 out of 5 times.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Bob, Valerie, I'll see you in Albuquerque. And Jeff,
that's
Jeff
right.
And I are so looking forward Jeff. To it. Yeah.
Ooh, you and Jeff are coming. That's right. We're going to have short times together, but we're going to be there. That'll be great. Okay.
Yes.
Valerie, are you still with us?
I don't think
we have to.
I think she's gone.
No, we've only got that only so many Skypes.
Yeah, that's right. So please understand, everybody watching, we try to switch it around so everybody gets something to happen. And we'll see you right back here next week. Be sure and join us. And we got a lot of fun things coming. That Collins van you saw, what a story about that. That thing was around in the early 60s for the Collins company, and it went missing. And Jim found it. He found it, and he restored it, spent a lot of money doing it. It's exactly the way Art Collins used to drive it around to the different dealers. We're going to have that on here in a few weeks. So just a lot of exciting programming coming. So stay tuned. Tell your friends, tell all your club members, anybody you talk to. It's Ham Nation. Just put Ham Nation into Google. It's all you need. Bingo. All these 159 programs will show up. Thank you for your time. Thanks to all that join us and make this program what it is. And a very special thank you to Leo Laporte and to you, Brian, for giving us the bandwidth and keeping all this going, because I know it's tough on you. So I will see you next week right back here after we get back from Albuquerque. 7-3, everybody. It's been great fun. Bye-bye for now.
And it's great fun to be back for another 40-meter Wednesday night.